الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع وعلى آله الطيبين. Of the studies of the Islamic Creed, and today we are going to go through the four principles of Iman or faith. And this is compiled or whatsoever, and he is well known to many of you, and maybe some of you have heard something wrong about him. However, once you see what he wrote, you will find that he only spoke about what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran and what the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sunnah. And his books are not combined more than it, gathering of the verses of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ together to present the proper understanding to them. That is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, who people prefer to call his da'wah Wahhabiyya, which is absolutely wrong, because Wahhabiyya refers to the word Wahhab, and Wahhab is the name of Allah, not the name of that man. It is a name of Allah. His father called Abdul Wahhab, and Wahhab is Allah, not anyone else. And even if land called Najd in the middle of the province, stated the hadith that we are studying today from Bukhari and Muslim and other books. With no further delay, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to get to the text. The Sheikh began by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we all know that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the statement that the Quran on the beginning of each surah starts, except for Surah Bara'a, Surah Tawbah, and it is an ayah in Surah An-Naml. And also the Prophet ﷺ used to begin all of his letters that he sent to the emperors and Heraclius and whoever rulers, he began that with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the Shaykh began that by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, following the Quran and the Sunnah. And then he said, أسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يتولاك في الدنيا والآخرة. He began his book saying, I ask Allah, the most kind, the most gracious, رب العرش العظيم, the Lord of the great throne, أن يتولاك في الدنيا والآخرة. أن يتولاك في الدنيا والآخرة, that he be your supporter and protector and guide in this world and in the hereafter. And I think until this much universal, anything that contradicts with the Quran and Sunnah. Right? And then he said, وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْ. And he that Allah Ta'ala, and I ask Allah Ta'ala to make you a blessed person wherever you go. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مِمَّنْ إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرْ. And he, and ask Allah Ta'ala to make you from those whom whensoever given any blessings, they thank Allah. And to make you from those whensoever trials fall on them, they feel patient, they show patience. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to make you from amongst those who, whensoever they commit a sin, they repent to Allah Ta'ala, seek forgiveness. Is there anything wrong with this, Ikhwan? So far? And then he said, verily these three things are the real sa'ada, real happiness. These are the causes of happiness. Thankfulness to Allah, patience with the destiny of Allah, and repentance from the sins. If you have these three, then you are the most blessed one. If you, whenever Allah bless you with a grace or a blessing or a ni'mah, you say Alhamdulillah, then you are a very good believer, slave of Allah. If you, whenever you have a calamity, whenever a calamity falls on you, you be patient, you be patient, and you should. And that is something whenever they face difficulties, they be patient. You know who these ones were? These are prophets and messengers. All the prophets and messengers and the pious people along the history are the ones who always, whenever they have a blessing or a grace, they say Alhamdulillah. Whenever have a difficulty or a calamity or a problem, they be patient and say Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. So far, do you think that the Imam is making anything that you object?
No.
Right. Then he said, I'lam أرشدك الله لطاعتي. Know, 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 you whom I ask Allah Ta'ala to guide to His obedience. He's still making dua for you, which is good. Now, أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم, that the حنيفية, which is the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Ibrahim and all prophets, all of the prophets, 124,000 prophets were all of Hanifiyah. None of the prophets was out of Hanifiyah. None of them. Because Hanifiyah means the oneness of Allah, singling out Allah in worship. That's the Hanifiyya basically. And then he clarified it, what it is. He said, this Hanifiyya, أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين. The Hanifiyya, which is the religion of Ibrahim and all the prophets from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to worship Allah alone. Is there any objection in that? No? Anybody can say that? No, but worshipping so and so is okay too? No, you all agree. كما قال تعالى. And look, now what first was his statement. And then he said, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Dariyat ayah 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I created not jinn and mankind but to worship me. So is that the Hanifiya or not? Allah Ta'ala is saying that He created you not but to worship Him. Is that the Hanifiya or not? That's the Hanifiya, because Allah wants you to worship Him alone with not any partners. Then He said, then the Imam said, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَكَ لِعِبَادَتِي. So as long as you know that Allah Ta'ala has created you only for His to worship Him alone, then He said, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لَا تُسَمَّى عِبَادَةً إِلَّا مَعَ التَّوْحِيدِ. Then you got to know that worship is not considered to be a worship except with Tawheed, meaning if it is for Allah alone. If this ibadah is performed for Allah alone, but if the ibadah is performed for Allah and others, it's not considered to be ibadah. Or do you think, ikhwan, it can be considered ibadah? Somebody worshipping Allah but worshipping others besides Allah, do you think this is ibadah?
No.
Isn't it accepted?
No.
Then Allah Ta'ala is not going to accept only the part of His and punish Him for the part of partnership?
No.
Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, as in Surah Al-Imran ayah 51, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. لعنت Al-Imran, in Al-Ma'idah, in Al-Ma'idah 82, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, verily he who associates anything along with Allah in worship, then Allah Ta'ala forbid the paradise for him. Such a person, no Jannah, no paradise, even if he worships Allah 1,000 years. Not from me, not from Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, not from any scholar, but it is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. In the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala also said at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He whosoever wishes to stand before Allah, wishes meaning to stand before Allah gaining the pleasure of Allah, stand before Allah while Allah is pleased with him. Otherwise everybody is going to stand before Allah. Is there anybody who is not going to be resurrected? Everybody is going to be resurrected. No one is going to continue in the grave. Everybody is going to be resurrected. So Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّي فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. Let that person do a good deed, righteous deed, and associate not anything with Allah in that worship or in worship. And also as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Nuh, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Verily the masajid and the worship, masajid means mosques, which are the houses of worship, and the worship itself for Allah, belongs to Allah. So associate not anyone with them and your obligations and your invocations and your worship in general. And Allah Ta'ala said that in Surah Al-Isra, to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهَ فَاعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّكِرِينَ. Look at that, إخوان. Allah Ta'ala is telling Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's Muhammad? Who's Muhammad to Allah, إخوان? Huh? Slave messenger, yeah, but this is not my question. In love, who is Muhammad? He is the one who Allah loves the most. No one can come to the level of Muhammad before Allah. No one. But look to this thread Allah Ta'ala is making to Muhammad, who Allah Ta'ala knows that he will never ever associate. So what is the benefit of this thread? Warning. And it's for us. If it is said, if it was said to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how come we are exempted from it? How come? Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. Indeed it was revealed to you. وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And to those who were before you. Who they are? Who received revelation from amongst mankind? Prophet and messengers, right? Any others?
No.
No one. Huh? So Allah Ta'ala is telling Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, indeed it was revealed to you and to those who were before you. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you would associate, then all of you amal will be destroyed. What is the amal of the Prophet? Can any one of us do like the amal of the Prophet? Can any imam, alim, whatsoever? Believe me, the amal of all of the ummah all together cannot equal the amal of the Prophet. But besides all that, Allah Ta'ala is telling him, your amal will be destroyed if you associate. So think of that. Is this something simple?
Yeah.
Something easy to associate? Ayahuan? It is something, yani, real, really, really, really dangerous. If I would ever give a synonym to dangerous, I would say shirk. Shirk is the synonym of danger, synonym of destruction. Because no any hasanat going to be counted along with shirk. And that's why the Imam is warning from it. Should he be counted wrong when he warned against the shirk? No. Then he said, so فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَكَ لِعِبَادَتِهِ فَعْلَمْ. If you know that Allah created you for to worship Him, only to worship Him, then know that worship is not considered to be worship except with tawheed. And he gave example. He said, كَمَا أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ لَا تُسَمَّ صَلَاةً إِلَّا مَعَ الطَّهَارَةِ. As salah is not considered or counted salah except with tahara, with wudu. If you pray without wudu, is that considered salah? It's not considered salah, ikhwan. Even if you do not intend to do it, you forgot, it's still not considered to be salah. Yani if last week you prayed asr on Sunday last week without tahara, and just today you remembered, you still have to go and pray it now, because this is not considered. Same thing, worship without tawheed, it's not considered before Allah, it's not accepted before Allah. Now he said, فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الشِّرْكُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فَسَدَتْ. Once the shirk, the association enters into the ibadah or against the ibadah, it destroys the ibadah. Exactly like he said, كَمَا كَالْحَدَثِ إِذَا دَخَلَ الطَّهَارَ. Exactly like the impurity when it comes to the purity. Meaning, you have wudu, but you pass there. What is the value of that wudu? You just had perfect wudu. When you come to the mosque, you pass air. What is the benefit of that wudu? Can you play with it?
No.
No. That wudu is nullified. Exactly the same thing. You have ibadah. You're someone who builds mosques. You're someone who gives the poor. You're someone who builds madrasa. You're someone who buys Quran and put in the masajid. You're someone who does all good. But at the same time, you commit shirk. No value for all those things. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. As in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 33. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we shall turn to whatever deeds they did in this life, meaning of the good deeds, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust, scattered about, flow in the air. Nothing, it's not going to be counted, it's not going to be put on the scale. Why? Because he's associated. And then he said, if you got to know that shirk, once it mixed with the ibadah, it destroyed it, and it caused the amal be uncounted. And the one who commits the shirk would be from those who are going to be put in the fire, to abide in the fire forever. Listen. Now, he said, if you know that the shirk, once it is mixed with the ibadah, meaning it is found from the same person who does this ibadah, as I gave an example. You build mosques, you do all these good things, but on the other hand, you are doing shirk. This shirk, even small, destroy all this messenger. You did. Must have worked with it. Why? Because shirk is like poison. Like poison. It destroys. Now? So, he then said, and you know that the one who does that is from those who are put in the fire forever. As Allah Ta'ala said in many, many ayahs, as I told you, the ayah of Al-Imran, ayah 31. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Where Allah forgives not who associate anything with him in worship, but he forgives whom he wills, whatever below the shirk. Below the shirk. Now? And he then said, by that, by knowing that, you come to know that the most obligatory thing upon you to know is Tawheed. It is the thing that you are created for, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It is the thing that you are going to be judged about on the day of resurrection, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran on many occasions. the thing that either going to protect you from fire or apply during the fire. So it is the most important thing to know about. Is it Yahwa? Is there anything more important in our lives to know than the Tawheed, the right of Allah? Nothing. Nothing. Now, why he said لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة وهي الشرك بالله. Then he said, by knowing that, I ask Allah Ta'ala to protect you from that net, that trap, the trap of the shaitan. Who is the one who holds that human being commit shirk? Shaitan, isn't it? Have you ever come to know that shaitan wants you to be Abu Tawheed? Wants you to be obedient to your Lord? You think that shaitan wants you to be like so? No. He doesn't. He is our enemy. As Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Verily the shaitan is your enemy, so take it as an enemy of yours. Now, as Allah also said in Surah Al-Baqarah 168, Allah Ta'ala said, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا. Allah Ta'ala says, the evil one threatens you with poverty and bids you to conduct unseemly. Allah promise you His forgiveness and bounties. So whom you follow? Whom you obey? Allah. And Allah Ta'ala told us that the shaitan is an enemy for us. He's not a friend. He's not a friend. Then he said, and this trap of the shaitan is the shirk. Don't believe that the shaitan, except from a Muslim, to just drink khamr. La. Drinking khamr, something good or bad, ikhwan? Huh? Something bad. Is it? Very bad. Very bad. Who calls to it? Shaitan. You think that shaitan wants only to lead you to this level? No. This is not the level, because he knows that Allah might forgive this sin. But he wants you to have this. And once you have this, you're going to fornicate. And once you fornicate, you're going to rape. And once you rape, you're going to rob. And you're going to get riba. You know, to have money for this. You're going to have all these sins, which at the end will lead you out of Islam, to commit shirk. To commit shirk. So shaitan is not going to be happy and sufficient with drinking khamr only. La. This is the first step that he is taking you to go down to the hell. So you have to be careful. Now, right. Hey then, Imam said, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, ayah 116 of Surah Al-Nisa. I said earlier, Al-Imran 31, no, that's wrong. It's Surah Al-Nisa, ayah 116. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Verily Allah forgives not that one who associates anything with him in worship, but he forgives which is lesser than shirk for whomsoever he Allah Ta'ala wills. So Allah told them that he's not going to forgive the shirk. Then the Imam said, to know that, he summarized it for you in four principles. And that is the title of our topic today. The four principles of Iman. The four principles of Iman. Or the four principles of Tawheed. How can I maintain Tawheed? Basically. How can I maintain Tawheed? The right of Allah. How can I maintain it? That's it. Now. He done the shirk. He's the first one, then the shirk. Shirk wasn't found in the life of mankind before Shaitan. Shaitan is the first one who committed shirk. When Allah Ta'ala, by the way, shirk has many words. As Allah Ta'ala said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. As in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 43, seeing you such a one as take for his God his own passion or impulse, that he follows only what his desire calls him to. Shaitan, when Allah created Adam and blown the spirit into the body and Adam stood, Allah commanded all those creation in the heavens to prostrate for Adam. Now, it's a command of who? Who says to Allah, no? Is this shirk or not? It's a shirk, because he's saying to Allah, no, and saying to his desire, yes. His desire is telling him to refuse. So he obeyed his desire and refused Allah's command. Allah Ta'ala said, فسجد الملائكة إلا إبليس. إلا إبليس. All the angels were prostrated except for Iblis. Now, so, the four principles. And he said, this will make you to know four principles Allah Ta'ala mentioned in his book. Ah, good. Imam Muhammad al-Mirab is saying these principles Allah Ta'ala mentioned in his book. So Muhammad al-Mirab is not going to bring you three principles or four principles from his own book. It is from Allah's book. From Allah's book. What are these? Write them down. The first, أن تعلم أن الكفار الذين قاتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مقرون بأن الله تعالى هو الخالق المدبر وأن ذلك لم يدخلهم في الإسلام. He said that to know, the first principle is to know that the kuffar that Rasulullah fought against admitted in Allah as the Lord, as the creator, as the sustainer, as the controller. Is that true or not, ikhwan? The kuffar of Quraysh did not deny that Allah is the creator. They did not deny. They did not deny that Allah is the sustainer. They did not deny that Allah is the controller of all universe. They never denied that. What is the proof? The proof is Allah saying, as in Surah Yunus, in Ayah 31, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. قُلْ, this قُلْ directed to whom? Huh? Ayah, when Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Rasulullah, Allah is saying, Rasulullah, say, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ. And now, Allah is commanding the Prophet to say to whom? Which people? Mainly, first of all, Quraysh and everyone after them. But he was talking to Quraysh. This Quran was descended on the tongue of Quraysh, and it was descended to Quraysh and then to everyone else after them. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to telling Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all you people of Mecca, all you people who worship other than Allah, who sustained you? Who sustained you from the heavens and earth? Now this question was raised from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Kuffar, the pagans of Mecca, the pagans of Mecca. The people of Mecca were enemies or friends of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Enemies. Why? Why is this enmity? Because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them stop worshipping the idols, correct? Right? Stop worshipping other than Allah. Worship only the one who sustains one. Now he is asking them, who provided all this sustenance from heavens and earth? They did not say our gods. What did they say? And then, أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ, and who controls your sighting and hearing? أَمَّنْ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, and who is the one who brings the living from the dead and the dead from living? وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ, and who controls all this universe? Allah then said, فَسَيَقُولُونَ, they did not say yet, but Allah Ta'ala said فَسَيَقُولُونَ, they will say, and that's exactly what they said. فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ قُلْ فَأَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, say O Muhammad to them, then if you know that it is Allah, shall you not fear Allah and stop worshiping other than Him? So Kuffar Quraysh believed in what, Yaquan? Believed in what we call it Rububiyyah. Believed that no one can sustain, no one can create, no one can control the universe but Allah. That's their belief. Okay. Did the Prophet ﷺ accept that from them to be Muslims? Huh? Yaquan? No. Because he fights against them, fought against them, right? And he named them kuffar. Now,
if they believed in Allah, then why did he fight kuffar?
No, if they believed in Allah, I'm telling you, be careful with me. I said they believed in Allah as a creator, sustainer, controller. But they did not accept to take him as the only God that they worship. That part of Tawheed, we call it Lordship, Rububiyyah. They believed in the Rububiyyah. Many Muslims today, when you tell them, yani, stop worshipping the grave and the wali and this, they say, Akhi, we are not kuffar. We are not, yani, mushrikun. How? They say, we say, La ilaha illallah. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We call the Adhan. We pray the 5 times. We go Hajj. We give zakah. We fast Ramadan. How can we consider us kuffar? Okay. We ask them, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? They say, no khaliq illallah. There is no creator but Allah. Say, wrong. If that is the definition, why Rasulullah fought against Quraysh? Did Quraysh believe that Allah is the creator or not? Believe. Allah said in the Quran. But still, this wasn't the proper iman. When you believe that Allah is the creator, Allah is the sustainer, Allah is the controller, then you have to stop asking anybody, salutary for anybody, voting for anybody, fearing anybody, praying for anybody but Allah. There is no separation between the Lordship and Godhood. No separation. As Allah Ta'ala said in Ayah 23 in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala said to them, all you mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you and those before you, so that you may have fear. The one who made the earth as a bed for you, the heavens as a canopy, and descended water from the heavens, and brought with it the harvest for you. So don't then set any similarities and partners along with them, while you know the truth. While you know the truth. Now?
Sheikh, what's the difference in the surah?
Which surah?
The one before the Baqarah.
Before the Yunus. Surah Yunus 31. Now, so now, do we agree on the first principle? That the people of Quraysh, they understood very well the issue we call it Rububiyyah, Lordship. What is Rububiyyah? The duty of the Lord. What is the duty of the Lord? To create, to sustain, to control the universe. You all agree?
Yeah.
Now,
is that the same sort of analogy when you say that the Jews believe that Allah is Lord, but it doesn't make a difference?
Say again?
Is it the same analogy if you say like the Jews believe that Allah is Lord?
Yeah, exactly. Iblis knows. Iblis, the Shaitan, knows very well that Allah is the Lord. But he did not fulfill the Godhood. The Godhood is your duty. What is that? What does that mean? Your obedience, your submission to him. That is the Godhood. Now, that is the Godhood. So do we all agree on that? That Quraysh, they agreed with the Prophet ﷺ that Allah is the only creator, Allah is the only sustainer, Allah is the only controller. Do we all agree?
Yes.
No one has a doubt saying that, oh, Quraysh did not believe in that.
So their concept that Allah was one was that?
Who's that?
The Quraysh. They believed, you know, in that Allah is one.
They believe that Allah is one? What do you mean by Allah is one?
I remember you mentioned provisions.
Because they are God. We're coming to that.
Okay.
But I want to clarify this first principle that Quraysh, whom Rasulullah fought against, did not deny the Rububiyyah, Lordship. They did not deny it. They did not say that Allah is the creator, but the sustainer is Hubal or Lat or Uzza or whatsoever, but they say Allah is the only creator, the only sustainer, the only controller. They believe in that. You all agree that Quraysh believed in that?
Yes.
Please, if anybody has a doubt, let us not move.
Is it not the same thing as the Christians say, or the Hindus say, or other people say, that, for example, Christians say, relation where it says, your Lord, my God is on top. So they believe in the Rububiyya. So does the Hindus in their scriptures believe in the Rububiyya?
Mm.
Same as the Quraysh.
Yeah.
So a different that.
What difference? That's correct. That's correct. And I always say to the people, Christians, kuffar or Muslims,
ikhwan.
Why?
Not
only that.
Oh,
they worship Isa.
Yeah, they worship Isa.
Huh? They worship Isa. It's, that one is main, main deficiency. But they also worship Isa. Correct? So worshipping Isa is kufr. But worshipping Mawlana so is Iman.
No.
How come they do? Are we people of justice?
No.
Or people who are unjust? How come we measure it in two different ways? We say worshipping Isa, asking what we need from Isa, that is kufr. No doubt in that. No doubt in that. But if you go and ask it from Jilani, Tijani, whatsoever, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Ali, from Fatima, this is Iman, not kufr. How can it be? How can it be? That was Amin al-Khwan.
We found people who don't accept lordship and they are Muslim.
Even lordship?
They don't accept him like Quraysh, Allah is lordship. Also they are Muslim.
What do they say?
They say the Uliya, Ukat, they say Ukat and Allah, they control with Allah that they give him the power.
Right.
Yeah.
And they are worse even than they are worse than Quraysh. Quraysh never thought that Allah has helpers. And these people, these are the Sufis, by the way. They believe that Allah has helpers, assistants to assist him. One is responsible. They call them Aqtar. Aqtar. Qutb is the strong strong pillar of an outad, like the outad, like also the mountains of pillars. They say Allah has assistance, one for sustenance. He is the one who is responsible for giving sustenance. So if you want, don't ask Allah, ask that one, because he has the sustenance. Like when the king has ministers, and each minister is responsible of his ministry. So instead of going to the king, you ask the minister and he gives it to you. Huh? Look at that. How can this be? How can this be a Muslim now? How can I believe that this man is a Muslim? Quraysh even didn't have this belief. And now we consider such a person Muslim? Of course. Unjust. The second principle, the Imam said that the second is that they, Quraysh, say مَا دَعَوْنَاهُمْ, we never subjugated them, we never involved them, we never prayed to them إِلَّا لِطَلَبِ الْقُرْبَةِ وَالشَّفَاعَةِ, only to ask them to provide us the closeness to Allah, or for their closeness to Allah, and so that they intercede for us before Allah. So that they intercede for us. When? Not Yawm al-Qiyamah. Here in this world, they want them to intercede for them with Allah in this world. What is the meaning of that? You want a child, you go to the wali will intercede. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, here's my man. Give it. We deal with Allah like this? A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah. We deal with Allah like that? You have a wali, and if you want a child, if you want risk, if you want barakah in your business, you go to the wali, and the wali will ask Allah, Ya Allah, I know him. I know him very well. He's from our people. Does that mean Allah doesn't know you? So he needs for one to introduce you to him and intercede for you? We'll come to that point. His life is different. If his life is different. Allah Ta'ala said, وإن سورة البقرة فإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب الآية 186 سورة البقرة وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني داعي دعاني أقدس فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. يا الله تعالى said when my said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when my servants asked you concerning me, Allah Ta'ala did not say to Muhammad, say to them, look at this, there is a benefit here, ikhwan. There is a great benefit here. The ulama always emphasize, take yani, be alert to it. They say Allah Ta'ala said to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فإذا سألك عبادي عني whenever my servants, my slaves ask here. Why? Some ulama said Allah did not want to show the mediation in conveying the message here in conveying, so that no one be misunderstand and take an intercessor also in calling Allah. Allah Ta'ala then said, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ verily I am, or said, I am indeed close to them. Ya akhi, Allah close to you by His knowledge, by His hearing, by His sighting. Why you need to go through a dead person? Subhanallah. Now, they say, he's worthy. I say, okay. I don't say that he's not worthy. I never said that. He's worthy. Is he alive or dead? He's dead. Allah alive or dead? Can Allah die?
No.
The wali died. They say, no, but the wali is alive. Where is he alive? Where is he? Alive and I can't see him? What's that? How can he be alive and I can't see him? And nobody can see him. How can he? He's alive, but in the grave. He's alive, but in the grave. Now, so, he is dead. Why do I need to go to a death and I leave the alive? Let me give you a more symbol. In your room, there is a box. Heavy for one to lift, but for two they can't. Your brother is in the house. Your father passed away. He's buried. Who are you going to ask to carry this with you? Huh? The brother, isn't it? Because he's alive. Everyone is dead. But remember, your father was the champion on lifting weights. Your father was the champion on lifting weights. He can lift that box by one finger. He's a champion. But he's dead. He's in the grave buried. Are you going to ask assistance for him to carry it?
No, he cannot hear you.
He cannot come out of the grave. If he will come out of the grave, he will go to his wife first. Because he missed them now. Yani, no brain, subhanAllah. How come you ask the dead and the Allah, the alive is there? And look at that. Sheikh Tijani, where is he? In Africa, somewhere buried. And someone who is following this tariqa here in London. He wants anything, he asks Sheikh Tijani. Ya akhi, Tijani is there. Allah, by His knowledge, by His hearing, by His sighting, everywhere. Allah can hear you, can see you, wherever you are. Even you dig 3 kilometers down in the earth, Allah knows what you do. So why you go to the one who cannot see you, who cannot hear you, and leave the one who can hear you and see you? Subhanallah. Ya Akhwan, all human, do they all agree that the deaf can hear? Huh? When we ask human, all mankind, all people today, Muslims, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, whatsoever, will they all say one statement? Will they all agree that, oh, the deaf can hear? Huh? No, not all of them. You will have people say yes, like these two, once in the grace. And you will see people say no. Come to this. But if you ask them, does Allah hear you all? What are they going to say? They all agree. But why we leave what we all agree to what we have conflict on? And we disagree. This is something we all agree, that Allah is alive. Allah hears us all. Allah sees us all. Allah knows about us all. We all agree on that. So why we leave this and go for something we don't agree? In the Quran, did Allah Ta'ala mention anywhere that he might die? No. But he told us that he is permanent. Right? In the Quran, Allah told us about the death of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about the death of mankind. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You're going to die and they are all going to die. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. All of those creation on the earth will die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. What remains alive? Your Lord, Allah. So, in the Quran, there is no even any indication that they might still alive. Now,
what evidence do people who believe that people in the grave are going to are alive? They have some evidence. They quote.
They have some evidences which are, and when you look to it, you find it against them. They tell you, okay, Allah Ta'ala said أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ, about the martyrs. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Let me just tell you what ayah. Don't think that those who are the martyrs who are killed for the sake of Allah are dead people. However, وَلَا تَقُولُ, Ayah 154, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Like this ayah. They say that Allah Ta'ala said, I'll say not of those who are slain in the way of Allah. They are dead. Nay, they are living, though you perceive it not. So they say, okay, look, Allah Ta'ala said that they are living. They are living. We did not deny life. But, okay, let me ask you something, Akhwan. The baby in the womb of his mother, alive or dead?
Life.
You are also the baby, baby in 6 months pregnancy, alive or dead?
Alive.
What Allah, we know Allah, but he's alive. Now you go to the middle, you feel like this, you know that it's alive, right? Okay, you are alive. you are alive, everyone is alive. You come to your wife is alive. The mother is alive. And the baby in her stomach is alive. Right? They both alive. Same life?
No.
Uh-huh. That baby goes to toilet?
No.
That baby doesn't go to toilet. The mother goes to toilet. Right? That mother eats chili. Right? And the chili tastes hot on her tongue. Correct? And she drinks water. Correct? This happened to the baby? Okay, the mother eats cake now. Nice, sweet. Does that happen to the baby?
No.
Why? They are both alive. They are both alive. Different lives, Yahi. This is a life, and you're alive. In the grave, there is a life. That life, life is the warm life, and it's special life. I don't mean exactly like it, but I mean, as in the womb, there is a special life, in the grave, there is a special life. In the grave, there is a special life. We cannot compare, as we cannot compare the life of the womb to the life of or the life of the baby in the womb, like the life of the mother. We cannot. Can we say these are the same?
No.
Can we equalize it? No. But we all agree that these both are lives. They are alive. The mother and the baby in her womb are alive. Both have life. Right? The mother's life is different from the baby's life. Correct? You're with me? Sir? You're with me? Right. Now, you are here alive. Aren't you? Okay. Anybody of you had headache ever? You all had headache? Yeah, in your life. You had headache. Toothache. Right? Hunger, you got anger, fever, thirst, all this you got. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you are in the Jannah. You are alive or dead in the Jannah?
Alive.
Are you going to suffer of headache, toothache, stomachache, whatsoever ache? Why? Isn't that life? You are there alive and you're alive. Why it is different? That's a special life. In the grave, same thing. Ya ikhwan, imagine. They will be buried or unburied? Buried. How wide is the grave?
Same for everyone.
Huh? Same for everyone. This wali, maybe he was rich and he used to live in a palace, big palace. When he died, are they going to dig a big palace for him down?
No.
Huh? It's only 2 meters long, then by 1 meter width. Right? Now, this wali who was in this big palace, exists to stay there in that small place?
Not sure.
Dark. And what do you call this dude? Weeds?
Worms.
Worms. And moisture and die, all this, does he accept to be there? If he's alive, what will happen if he's alive? He will push the grave and come out. It happened, by the way. It happened. At least I know in Egypt one time. You know, in Egypt they have rooms, like room. It's not they put the soil over the body. For that, later they can put someone else.
Is this the time of the
pharaohs? No. Now, just 2-3 years back. What happened? A man went unconscious. And they thought that he's dead. They washed him, showed him, prayed janazah, and they took the person to the grave. And they put him in the grave. And they left. Sometime later, they brought it on news. And sometime later, they gave. Guard, he knows. Where is this room? You know, as I told you, it's a room, not like in Saudi we bury direct.
Like a tomb.
Yeah. So he has a space to move on, but he could not push the concrete. So he was shouting, shouting. The grave guard came closer, chasing the sound, until he came to the grave, and he heard the sound. He said, "Who is this?" First time in his life. Imagine that, you are coming to you. Leave the grave and run away. Say what? Yeah, I'm sorry. He said, "What's this? What's the name of that man?" Yes, I'm finish this story, inshallah. He opened the grave, and the man was alive. He could not believe. Then he called the police and hospital, and everybody came and examined him. The man was alive. So why he did not stay there? Akhi, be there, the awliya like you there. And if the awliya like him, yani, they're alive. How do they know about us outside? Internet, yani? CCTV? What's this? Silly, yani, silly, really silly. Unacceptable to the... Yani. So, what I mean to say, akhi, they bring you evidences, but these evidences, when you look to it, it's against them. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, passed away, but he is alive in his grave. He knows about us. How he knows about us? They say he said in the hadith which is sahih, which you, the Salafis, authenticate. Yeah, we authenticate. It's true. That he said, Allah assigned angels to around the world and convey me the salam of any Muslim, pass the salam to me. That's correct. We don't deny it. We don't deny that. This is authentic hadith. Okay. How? Allah knows best. Where is the angel? Now I say, As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulullah. Where is the angel who took it? Ya angel, where are you? Can I see the angel?
No.
If I cannot see the carrier, what about it? Is the carrier, this carrier alive or not alive? And I cannot see it. So that is a special life, Ikhwan. That's a special life.
They also mention some ayah in the Quran which they misinterpret the context, where they talk about some of the Anbiya who spoke to the people who were destroyed, and they said, "Now do you see the punishment of Allah?" or something like that. That's not general, that's
specific. First of all, that, like what happened in then this is not for awliya only.
No.
Because when the Prophet ﷺ spoke to those people, they were Abu Jahl. If this life is even Abu Jahl is equal, then what type of life is that? What wali is that? You are saying our wali is alive. Life, this life, and he knows everything. And you say the dalil is that the Prophet ﷺ went to the well where he thrown the bodies of the kuffar in it at the battle of Badr. In the battle of Badr, there were 70 kuffar killed. The Prophet ﷺ commanded to take the bodies and throw them in a well. And then he came close to the well and he said, "All you people in the well, did you find what your Lord promised you? As indeed we found what our Lord promised us." They take this as an evidence to say, "Oh, he spoke to them, they must hear." And Umar told them, "Ya Rasulullah, how come you speak to people already died?" He said to Umar, "They can hear me better than you now." They say, "Look, Rasulullah said they can hear." Okay, were they awliya? What do you mean to say? Your awliya equals to Abu Jahl? What is this? Even when they interpretate these things, they corrupt the interpretation of it, they change it, to what is against them, not for them. Wallahu alam. So inshallah we stop for salah and then we continue. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.